Those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Sanctity of Human Life Sunday always falls in this month of January, and that happens to be this Sunday. And there are many, of course, as we consider that, many sad, indeed, things to consider about government policies and dreadful choices that continue to abuse, violate, and really, truly devalue life throughout our land. However, there is one positive thing. It isn't always bad to look at the things that are happening that are good. One would be, for instance, in this new year of 2018, is the announcement of a new civil rights division within the Health and Human Service Department. It happened because, as one article just noted, resurgence of religious liberty advocates within the federal government represents its latest efforts to alleviate conscience protections within the healthcare realm. And so what that means is, basically, we're not only to speak up for those who can't speak up for themselves, like children in the womb or the infirmed, you know, who can't really say anything. But we have to also recognize a greater burden too. Plenty of doctors and nurses and others face attack daily, yearly, from cherishing the value of life as God has made it. Right in their jobs, right in their offices. Now, the common ground we share with others is this: in this world is the natural way life comes to us. And the most natural way, you know this, we see it, you know, in a farm country of America, but we know how this happens, you know, with, you know, the basic necessities of life that come through a man and a woman and how they have children. And yet the Epiphany season kind of reveals the fact that Christians go even further with the valuing of life. So we can join, honestly, we can join with people who are atheists, who do believe in life between a man and a woman, and that's a good thing. We can join with people who are Muslims and people who are Orthodox Jews who want to support the right to life. But we go even farther as Christians. Since the Son of God has become man, as we would say, you just confessed it, God became man by what? Being conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. Don't forget those two important verbs. What that means is natural life has received greater honor with God in the flesh. For what purpose? Not merely a right to life, but more than that, for us men and our salvation. Jesus has come to lift us up to follow him alone because he brings eternal life. And that is your right as a blessing in the gospel for all who believe in him. Now, time, as you know, is not in our hands with whatever we have in life, not a single ounce of it. In terms of the law, you know what this means. Every single person knows what this means in the world. The clock is ticking down. The Corinthian Christians were caught up in a Roman society. And what that meant with the clock ticking down in that mindset was this: eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die. And what a depressing way to think about life. But that's the way it was thought about. And so this carelessness over, well, I could die any day, who knows how death may take me, became pretty hard on life because it led to a slew of ethical issues. And you read the book of 1 Corinthians and you'll find out St. Paul had to address many topics about life. In particular, one of the biggest ones throughout that whole book is that of marriage. However, for all the good order to have for life, the Christian had to keep always and continually one eye on the eternal treasure that can't be taken away at any time in life. And so St. James, you know, that writer of the New Testament, he sums it up pretty well in these words. What is your life? For you are a mist. You are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So in terms of the gospel, that's the better news, right? Eternal life is what finally intrudes upon time. St. Paul tells us the appointed time has grown very short. Or again, the present form of this world is passing away. What he's saying here is not a natural thing merely about, oh, you better watch out because, you know, the days are growing short and you're going to die. That's not what he's saying here. When he's talking about the days growing short and this world passing away, it's not about the clock ticking down to death. It's the focus that St. Paul has changed to turn every part of our life to be fixed upon Jesus as the Savior and giver and Lord of life. And so his eternal word, Jesus, his word, breaks into life, into time and space, and declares, once again, you heard today, the time is fulfilled. From God's perspective, there is no progressing of humanity. Like we think about, oh, where we're going to be next year, you know, in terms of our aging population and our technologies. God doesn't care about this. What he cares about is the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. We proclaim the Lord's death, as we say around the Lord's Supper, until he comes, because his cross has unleashed what this life can never give, for it purely rests as a good gift by faith in Jesus at all times, right? And it's a good thing to treasure. And so Jesus lifts us up out of time by his everlasting invitation to life. And so there's a natural way in this world that is a blessing. That's what we're fighting for when we have the March for Life. The natural way that's a blessing. Have children if you're blessed to have them. If you are married, that's a good thing. And if you don't go away, that's ethically wrong by destroying more embryos in the womb than making them. The natural way is good. We know this. The first miracle that Jesus did was where? At a wedding in Cana. And so God tells us to celebrate marriage. Get out of this silly stuff of sexual immorality. Get into marriage, a man and a woman, and enjoy it all the days of your life. And may you be fruitful and multiply by God's grace. When there was mourning, Jesus didn't say, get over it. When Lazarus died, we know Jesus wept. And we know that when there was rejoicing with children present, Jesus told those ornery disciples, let the children, what? Come to me. Jesus recognized times of sadness and times of joy. Of course, spending money, too, is part of life, isn't it? You do it daily. And so whether it was paying taxes to Caesar or eating with tax collectors, Jesus did that too, didn't he? Having to use the world is why God gave it. You guys know this every single time when we go back into the season of spring, you get to use God's good creation to bear fruit and multiply. And may it be bountiful for your families and for all people. And so Jesus was not hesitant to grant a miraculous catch of fish or feed 5,000 people. This is what God gave creation to do. And yet the natural way has its own problems, doesn't it, for sinners? In this world that's... And so there is a better way. And that's what St. Paul is talking about today. It isn't great that you got married. It isn't great that you got children. It isn't great that you got a family and all the abundance we can have for this life. But here it is. Since time is short, let those who have wives live as though they had none. Family life is vital. But there is a greater promise for Jesus to dwell in our homes.
raising your children. When your children move out of your homes, Jesus needs to be there. When you're no longer married and you're a widow or a widower, Jesus is still there for you. Since the time is short, let those who mourn as though they were not mourning, and those who rejoice as though they were not rejoicing. Emotions are part of life, and yet Christ promises hope against the despairs that really and truly can destroy your life, and also his joyful presence that will not fade away, as other things in your life will. And we don't know always what that means and how it may happen. Since the time is short, let those who buy as though they had no goods. Daily bread is necessary. If a man does not work, he does not what? Eat, St. Paul says. But Jesus also called his disciples and now us to greater riches of forgiveness that money can't buy or ever keep. And so, you know, you can't forget, especially parents, as you work to for your kids' sake, to have them gain all this knowledge and skills for life, that by saving their life, they don't also lose it. And they forget Jesus because he bought us at a price that nothing that we could ever achieve in this life can ever give us comfort in. And so since time is short, let those who deal with the world as though they had no dealings with it. Our age today offers so much. Only it's not worth changing the value of life, is it? That's what we're doing. We can do all this more abundance and all these great things, but is it worth changing the value of what a person is in the womb? Or even when they're in the nursing home? Because they're just not as productive as they used to be. Is it worth it, what the world offers, against how God saves any and all in Jesus? And so Jesus lifts us up to follow him alone. And since he is the center of life, and that really is the whole focus that St. Paul is really talking about, plenty of things pull and press upon life at the present, making it hard to follow our Lord. That's the whole point. Jesus tells his disciples, follow me, and it's not a sales pitch. They don't know what's going to happen, and it's going to be crazy. It's going to end with the cross and the glory of the resurrection. Those in the church at Corinth, too, had busy lives. Busy, busy port town. Busy culture. And plenty of people and things were determined to gain their attention. Sales pitches. St. Paul is not against families and duties and callings in life, but they do bring anxieties with them, don't they? They do. And that also is a kind of captivity. And so in our mentality, especially in rural mid-America, when we think about families, you got to understand, we know this family has changed, and a lot of people aren't married. A lot of people may never be married. Some may never have children. You don't have to fix these things. You need to recognize how God is faithful to do great things through single people and through those who are childless. These are not things to mourn over, but God may make great things happen. Rather than trying to think this is the only way we have to have life. No, Jesus is our life, and he's changed everything. And so concerns and demands upon life quickly, as you know, with anxieties. I think about parents today and how much you're sold with so many things, both in the school and in the culture, about things for your kids. And I kind of, you know, shed a tear over that because there's so many pressures, so many things I have to choose from. If I don't choose the right thing, oh, my kid's life is ruined. Wrong. Your kid's life has always belonged to Jesus, and he'll keep him safe. Concerns and demands quickly block out Christ's love and commitment. And that happened. We know the Bible story in the New Testament gospel. Martha was so busy with stuff that she got distracted, didn't she, from Jesus. Whatever our callings in life or circumstances, none of it is worth silencing
the better peace Christ and his word brings as it did for Mary. None of it matters when you know that you'll only be married for so long. None of it matters when you know that you can't save a child even when you put all your heart into it because you're not their God. But Jesus is our hope and peace. And around him he gathers a great people, a muddled mess of people, of sinners and mixed up lives that all don't look the same, but he makes a wonderful family through it by baptism and who believe in him. If life reveals anything, Jesus must go before us all our days. The Lord who called those first disciples did not abandon them. And that same dedicated love prevails over our lives by baptism. And so remember this, Jesus didn't call them to failure. He called them to faith that he would see them through to a far better life that they could not make for themselves. Anxious saints can receive the forgiveness Jesus gladly speaks as freedom from our captivity to works and worry over life. Jesus keeps speaking forgiveness, right? You want to know the purpose of the church? Jesus says, I forgive you. Because all your things, all the stuff that's supposed to be great for life has gone haywire. Both because we're sinners and we live in a sinful world. But Jesus comes, I forgive you. And since nothing is permanent in this world, not a single thing of it, Christ lets us eat and drink from the permanence of his kingdom. And it comes today, built on a sacrifice for you to eat and to drink, and you get to have this all the days of your life. Time is short, but it does not necessarily mean we're losing, because eternal life is what Christ brings for any who believe in him. And so, unlike so often today, St. Paul refuses, he absolutely refuses to drive a wedge between upholding good order designed by God for life and undivided devotion in life to the Lord. We can value the sanctity of life, but also how Christ, by his cross, has profoundly changed life forever. In any time, in any age, he has changed it for all who believe in him will be saved. Time yields to Jesus, for he at last brings a new heavens and new earth that will surpass what is ever passing away. So enjoy your times. But remember who stepped into time for us. He has taken away the sin of the world. He has indeed come to tell you peace. Sins are all forgiven, and indeed life is truly abounding for all who trust in me. Jesus has come to lift us up to follow him alone, because he brings eternal life. And he does it freely and all for you. Amen. Now the peace of Christ that passes all understanding be with your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.